You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. We're continuing this theme that we've been on, the military buyback. I mean, right now there is seller's remorse, it appears, as the military is missing its recruiting hacks. Left and right. I mean, 15,000 off the mark in the last fiscal year for the Army alone. Well, a letter just went out, and I mentioned it a moment ago, story on, I think I had this one off task and purpose, but a letter just went out inviting separated service members to begin returning to the ranks if they are so inclined. And I look at this and think, my gosh, you ruined people's lives and careers and disrupted their benefits, and now you're going to go, you know, sorry about that. Would you like to come back? I'll tell you one of the communities that I think has been the hardest hit, not because their numbers were so huge, but because their overall numbers are generally so small. It's a close-knit community, and that's Naval Special Warfare. So in the Naval Special Warfare, in the SEAL teams, if you will, it's a tight-knit community. And I've got one article right here that just talks about the fact that there were no less than 48 SEALs in one litigation alone, suing the Navy because they were not being given the opportunity for their religious accommodation request. 48. I mean, we're talking about like two platoons of SEALs. Anyway, somebody who knows it better than I do, and I wanted to get his thoughts on what it takes to even get to that point and then to find your career just axed over something like this, is Jared Hudson. Been on the show many times. Jared Hudson hails from the Birmingham area. He was more recently, he was a candidate for Jefferson County Sheriff. He's also a former Navy SEAL himself, a law enforcement officer, runs an organization called the Covenant Rescue Group that interdicts human trafficking efforts. And without further ado, let me welcome him back to the show. Jared Hudson, how you doing?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I am well, man. I'm well. Thanks for making time. I gave a lot more intro monologue than I meant to, so I hope you didn't mind waiting an extra 2 minutes for me to quit talking.
Nah, man. You're good, man. You're good. I appreciate you having me on, man. Hopefully I can help you out a little bit here.
Well, thank you. And so I guess, listen, speak to the concept of, I mean, the Naval Special Warfare is a very small, tight-knit community that, unlike the rest of the big military, a lot of times y'all wind up knowing each other because it's like I said, it's so tight.
No, yeah. So, I mean, like, I just finished the training for the SEAL teams last week for an East Coast SEAL team and was talking with some of the guys out there. And the funny thing is, and we've known this for a while, I've had buddies that got out during that time and everything, is that one, the community could not manage the loss of guys that they would have lost if it, you know, that didn't want the vaccine. So there was a mix. Those guys who got, you know, fake identification cards or vaccine identification cards, from what I understand, just to get through the process. There were guys who were like, no, I'm not going to lie about that. I don't want the vaccine. And then there's some guys that actually took it. But, you know I have a buddy in particular. He's out now. Young team guy. He was teaching at sniper school and a really good team guy. I think he was at 10 years or maybe 9 years, and planned on staying in. And he's the type of SEAL that you want, right?
Right.
And they basically told him, hey, you know, you're not what this community wants. Coming down from the higher levels, you're not what this community wants because you got to have a vaccine. And he said the hardest thing for him seeing, I think there are three transgenders in the SEAL teams right now. Now, these guys are non-deployable.
What?
Because so these guys are non-deployable because they consider transgender within DOD. That's from what I understand. So somebody will probably correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, transgender within DOD is still a mental, there's some kind of mental issue there. So they're non-deployable. Right. So with that being said, he said, as I'm leaving here, I am getting kicked out of the teams cause I don't want to get a vaccine, for my religious beliefs. And he said, the next thing I saw was that my wife, and he now has a baby and kid, we're going to have to get a vaccine. He said, but you know, I'm looking at this dude who's a 265-pound dude with long hair and a sports bra working out in the gym. And he said that's what DOD is saying is okay to keep. And he said it was disgusting. So now you have massive exodus from the military as a whole. They played their DEI game, and the problem they've run into is they ain't got anybody worth their weight to fight. And the few folks they do have worth their weight to fight are probably at retirement age or getting ready to get out or in some sort of instructor billet. Now, the SEAL team still has a bunch of good dudes in it, but a lot of the dudes that left that would have been great assets, they're like, nah, not getting back in. Yeah. And a lot of them were off. A buddy of mine's a Green Beret. He got offered to get back in 20 Special Forces Group after he got out because he didn't get a vaccine. They said, hey, man, no, you can come back in. No vaccine. Don't worry about it. And he's like, nah, I'm over it. Don't worry about it. You know, so, I mean, there's only – it's kind of like, you know, when you're in high school, that girl keeps breaking up with you over and over, and you keep getting back with her, when she, you know, gets some other dude dumps her. And it's kind of that same thing. That's the way the military, the government is. And that's the problem they're running into now. I talked with a recruiter. He said they've changed their recruiting strategy completely. If you look at commercials, you'll see white dudes jumping out of airplanes on Army commercials now. Yeah. You used to never see that, ever. It was always about DEI, you know, type stuff, you know, this equity and inclusion bullcrap, which does not work for the warfighter. And that's right. The problem. That's why folks don't want to get in. And that's why folks don't want to be part of Special Operations Command anymore.
Well, man, I tell you, you hit on several things there, and one of the things that really struck me as I was reading these articles too, one of the pieces I've got in front of me talks about the fact that just to get somebody, you know, through BUDS and all the things it takes to get out on the teams, that the SEAL training pipeline is a $2 million expense, exclusive of the idea of the recruiting effort it took and then getting someone, you know, ready to even go into the training, and they just threw it all away on some of these people. And I would have to say too, I mean, granted, you cross level when you have to, and you pick up somebody else's slack if they're not there or whatever. But when you lose, when the teams are losing like 48 members at one time from one team, I mean, that's a significant chunk of operational capability that just walked out the door.
No, man, 100%. You know, and when you're, especially now that you know Afghanistan's over. Iraq is, you know, it got shut down in 2011. Then you had the Northern Iraq serious stuff there in the 2016, 2017, 2018 time frame, I believe, if I remember right. But your combat experience within the SEAL teams and within, you know, Ranger Bat and CAG and Dev Group, all these different units, it's not as much as it used to be because we haven't been at war last year. It doesn't mean guys don't have combat experience. You just don't have as much as you used to have. So to lose those guys that have a lot of combat deployments or a lot of combat experience, in my opinion, has to have hurt the community tremendously because now you're looking at what's going on in Israel, you look at what's going on in Ukraine, you look at the risk of what could go on between Taiwan and China. I mean, we're in a position now to where, you know, the war could be much more costly just because of the players involved. It's no longer an insurgency in Iraq or Afghanistan. I mean, we're talking about real conventional fighters here that we could be dealing with, and that's a game changer.
Yeah, it really is. And the recruiting effort, you mentioned a moment ago with the commercials. I saw the same commercial, by the way. And number one, it was actually not a bad commercial. I mean, I looked at it and thought, oh, praise God, it didn't talk about Susie with two mommies again. You know, guys is jumping out of airplanes and doing warfighter stuff, and I thought, well, finally, somebody got it, but it took them 3 years of now they're playing, you know, catch up. Everything they're doing right now is playing catch up, and I just feel like they just threw away operational, you know, readiness for virtually no
100%,
reason.
100%. That's exactly what they did. They threw away operational readiness for their DEI experience, and that's a problem. You know, I mean, that's a big problem, and now we're having to face the fact that dudes just don't want to be involved in the big green government anymore, you know, because they're like, I'm not playing this DEI game. And you still have individuals that want to join, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to serve your country, but at the same time, it's that chick that keeps breaking up with you, and then whenever you were the best thing that ever happened to her, she wants to get back together, you know what I mean? And that's kind of the way, that's the only way I can describe it. for the way a lot of guys feel, at least guys within the special operations, in particular the NSW community.
Well, listen, man, I know that you keep touch, and you even said it earlier, you still keep in touch with people who are in and out of the community, and let them know that one of the stories that I had earlier in the show is that if you want to get your paperwork amended because you were separated involuntarily or even separated under general discharge, which might have cut off your education benefits, the service member has to apply to have their paperwork amended, but they can get all those benefits back at the very least. Not even going back in, they can just get back the benefits they were supposed to have had. So tell your folks that you know that they got to take care of that business by themselves.
I definitely will. Thank you, brother. And it's sad they have to, but at least, you know, at least it's an option forward now if they don't lose all of those benefits they earn.
Absolutely. Hey, man, as always, thanks for your service. Thanks for providing some commentary. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, brother. Y'all have a great day.
All right, take care. All right, Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, law enforcement officer, also still does quite a bit of training with military and law enforcement, as well as running Covenant Rescue Group, which does human trafficking interdiction. Very cool. All right, we'll come right back and wrap this one up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.